It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For over a year now, Waupun Correctional Institution in Dodge County has been in turmoil. The maximum security prison was under a strict lockdown for an extended period of time, resulting in inmates being in their cells for 23 hours a day.
As lockdown conditions go on, 4 prisoners have died, 9 employees face criminal charges, and a series of state and federal investigations are underway. We hear now from 2 people closely watching developments inside Waupun.
Teresa Hewlett is the mother of Damian Hewlett. Damian is serving a 21-year sentence at the prison in Waupun. And Megan Hoffman Kolb is the daughter of Dean Hoffman. Dean died by suicide in solitary confinement while at the Waupun facility in 2023. Teresa and Megan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Megan, let's start with you and getting your reaction to news that the former warden of Waupun and 8 other employees were charged in connection with multiple inmate deaths. What is your reaction when you heard that?
Initially, just ecstatic. The fact that somebody is finally being held accountable for what's happening there is just amazing. Like, I feel like it's kind of unheard of. You know, this is unprecedented. It's a good thing.
Do you feel like years have gone by and you haven't been heard?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've been in this fight for about a year. My dad just died June 29th, so it was just his 1-year anniversary. So I've only been in this for about a year, and I know others have been fighting this longer, and I know that they've been unheard for a very long time.
Teresa, as a mother with a son who is currently incarcerated at Waupun, how did you take the news of 9 employees being criminally charged?
I was glad they were being held accountable, but it also was very sickening to me. I was physically sick when I heard the press conference, knowing that there are people that are treating humans this way, like loved ones. You know, these are someone's loved ones in there. And to hear the way some of these gentlemen passed was very disturbing to me. My son is still there, and I fear for him daily.
Are you able to talk with your son?
I do. I speak with my son every day.
And what does he tell you?
He just tells me of how horrible it is in there and how inhumane they treat people. Correctional officers are there to do their job, and they don't. They treat these people very badly. They're not getting the medical attention that most of them need, especially mental health. I feel like there needs to be more treatment instead of more torture. I mean, it's torture. The solitary confinement is very scary for me when I hear of my son going there. You know, when somebody is suicidal or going through problems, the last thing they need is to be left alone in a cell. They need someone to talk to. They need help at that point, you know.
Yeah. What does your son Damian tell you about the restrictions right now?
Well, them not being able to see their loved ones is very hard on a lot of them in there. Again, we know that a large majority of our population in our prisons have mental health issues, and they need that hug. You know, they need to be able to see their loved ones' faces and communicate with them in person, not just over the phone. Human touch is very important. He tells me that they're not getting showered the way they're supposed to. They're not getting enough food in there. They're getting the bare minimum to keep them alive. He's very concerned about the water they have to drink there with all the radium. He just tells me how the correctional officers they torment them, and they don't hear them out when they call for help. When they address that they need something, it's more of a joke. You know, they laugh at them.
Teresa, what do you say when your son tells you these things?
I tell him to continue to document everything. I tell him to pray. I tell him that we will be his voice out here and that just to continue to do what he's supposed to be doing in there, you know, and try to continue to, you know, he right now he's got lawsuits in court. A couple of the correctional officers that were charged, he already had an open lawsuit in court. And they are in that lawsuit. There are two of them for sure. And I just tell them to pray. I mean, I tell them to continue to call, continue to reach out. Megan has been a blessing, helping us through a lot of this. Just having somebody to talk to on the outside about all of it, you know.
Yeah.
I just really fear for his safety. You know, he's been, they have been retaliating against my son for a period of time now because he had already settled out a lawsuit, a $4,000 lawsuit with the Department of Corrections. And since then, they have continued to retaliate against him. So that's very scary for me on the outside, knowing that, you know, they are mistreating him in there.
Megan, your father died by suicide in a cell a little over a year ago. What comes up for you as you hear Teresa talk about what Damien has said and is going through?
It makes me sick. I am one of those kind of people that can feel what other people feel. And right after my dad died, I wouldn't be able to sleep because I could see him in his cell and the mental anguish he was going through. And now being a connection, being connected with Teresa and her son and many of the other inmates and their families, it just makes me sick knowing that it's still going on. And it also solidifies in my mind the torture that my dad went through.
In February, you and your family filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the State Department of Corrections and multiple prison officials. What is the status of the litigation?
Still in process. We had a hearing just a couple days ago, a status hearing to start. I don't exactly know what it means, but like to start the process and figuring out dates and things like that.
Does that give you hope that that piece of it is proceeding?
Yes, a lot of hope because, you know, a lot of times I feel like these kind of lawsuits just get tossed without any reason or any, you know, they just get tossed. And I think that that's very disheartening. And knowing that this one is not been tossed and we're still moving forward gives me a lot of hope.
We're talking with two families who are impacted by the turmoil at one of Wisconsin's maximum security prison, Waupun Correctional Institution in Dodge County. We have Megan Hoffman Cold there, the daughter of Dean Hoffman, who died by suicide in solitary confinement while at Waupun in 2023. And Teresa Hewlett is here, the mother of Damien Hewlett, who is currently serving a 21-year sentence. Teresa, as you know, there are investigations at the state and federal level occurring into the conditions of the prison. What are your priorities for change in the Wisconsin Department of Corrections?
Like I said, I'm just going to continue to be a voice. It's very hard for me some days. I know that some of my family fear me reaching out and stepping up. But I feel like if more people don't do this, that it's going to continue to be what it's been, and a very corrupt system that, you know, we're talking about money, and we as family members out here of these loved ones, they are robbing us with the phone calls, switching of the tablets, taking their TVs for minor problems. Like, it's just a money-making system. I've continued to reach out to Tony Evers about these kinds of behaviors in there and how people are being treated. I want to continue to be the voice. I don't want there to be any more deaths. These men were not given a death sentence.
I wonder, there could be legislation in the works that aims to create more accountability in the state correctional facilities. What would you tell lawmakers for next steps in changing policies?
These people need to be reformed. They are not reforming them. These individuals are in there and they're being taunted and tortured, and then they expect them to come out here and be good citizens. They're feeding them drugs in there, so they come out addicted to drugs. You know, we need a better policy. We need treatment centers. We need, you know, they need to be able to be educated, start a career, something that they can move forward with when they come home. Otherwise, the prison population is never going to get better. They come home, they get right back into trouble, and they go right back. You know, I feel like a lot of mental health treatment needs to be put into play in these facilities. You know, we're spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, taxpayers' money, to reform them. But where's the reform?
Megan, as of the first half of June, Waupun had a 43% vacancy rate, 123 unfilled positions. That's from the State Department of Corrections dashboard. How should Waupun leadership balance the worker shortage and the safety of employees and inmates?
I think the first and biggest step is reevaluating people's sentences and getting people out that have nonviolent charges. You know, they can really reevaluate their population, you know, work with the governor to, you know, get rid of some of the people that don't need to be in there so they can take care of themselves and the inmates that are in there.
Do you think should the National Guard be called in to stabilize conditions in the prison?
They should have been called in a year ago when the prison went on lockdown, or what they call modified movement. 100%. They are, you know, so understaffed. People aren't even, you know, getting fed at the right time. They aren't getting their medications at the right time or at all. These people aren't given any type of schooling or recreation. So absolutely, they should have called in the National Guard a year ago.
Teresa, how do you think your son Damien would feel about that if the National Guard would be called in to fill these positions?
I feel he would be grateful. The medical staffing is there. There's hardly any. Can't have one or two nurses taking care of however many inmates are in there. You know, they really need help, and if they can't find the help, they do need to call them in. I think it would help a lot.
Megan, prison staff failed to provide your father's medications for bipolar disorder and depression.
Mm-hmm.
What effect did that have on his situation, do you think?
I think it played the biggest role in his situation. When you're not balanced on your critical medications, even one missed dose can throw you off. It can give you suicidal thoughts. It can make you incoherent and just unable to be, you know, like a baseline of mental health. So, like, how are they expecting people to deal with their situation in there, which is already stressful enough? But then not providing the stable medications, it's a recipe for disaster.
There are more than 22,000 incarcerated people in state corrections department facilities. I would like both of you to respond. What is your advice to families who have a loved one and are going through a situation? Megan, you first.
I think, you know, when my dad was first incarcerated, I didn't know anything about the county jails and then into the prison system. And so I really didn't know in my mind, he was going to be taken care of. He was going to see a therapist, a counselor, make sure he has his medication, which we just less than a month before he was arrested, we were looking for an assisted living facility. I had reached out to the Ozaukee County Health Services Department, trying to find a resource in which he could have a stable living facility, somebody that was making sure he wasn't holed up in a dark room when his depression would get really bad, somebody that, you know, make sure he was eating nutritious food, making sure he was taking his medications. You know, so I think just that mental health aspect is so huge. And I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
That's okay. It's
really hard to like think back to just a month before he was arrested. What I wish I would have realized is that he needed more help from us as the family. So even though we were in contact daily, we were writing letters back and forth, I could have done more. And that's what I would hope other families would know going into it, is that they're going to need a lot more support from you than maybe you've ever, you know, been in contact with that loved one, because you are the lifeline to keeping them sane in there when they're dealing with all the situations they're dealing with.
Teresa, is there something you'd like to say to other families that we haven't touched on or are enduring something very difficult in a facility?
Answer your phones. Ask them to document things, keep you informed. Take it serious. Don't just push it under the rug and think that what they're saying isn't real, because I wouldn't have believed some of the things that I hear is going on in there until my son was there. And I've had years now to process all of what's really happening in there. And answering your phone can be the best, make it the best day of their life there. But when somebody doesn't answer, it can make them spiral out of control, because we are their lifeline, and they need to know what's going on the outside, because the inside is horrible for them behind those walls.
Yes, Teresa, thank you. Megan and Teresa, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Teresa Hewlett is the mother of Damian Hewlett. Damian is serving a 21-year sentence at the Waupun Correctional Institution. Megan Hoffman Kolb is the daughter of Dean Hoffman. Dean died by suicide in solitary confinement while at the Waupun facility in 2023. If you or a loved one is having thoughts of suicide, call or text 988 to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Again, those three digits, they are 988.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, our unique sport is catching on for dogs in Wisconsin.
They love solving the problem of where is this animal in this arena, and let me find that animal.
Check out the game called Barn Hunt. That's next here on WPR News.